Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3. Darren McFarland, Will Adonick, Derek Mason with you here on this so far sunny Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. Max Herz manning the board at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. And right now, the tarp is on the field in Hoover, Alabama. What does that mean? I don't know.
Rain delay.
We're about to find out. They have had some rain issues for the SEC tournament. Congratulations to Vanderbilt. I heard they won 3-1. I didn't watch.
Did you see the arc? Has anybody seen the arc?
I watched
there?
The whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, we know you did. With
I need, yeah. And I have a big, big
that
vat.
That was not
of,
in question. That
exactly.
In question. I have a big vat of caffeinated
we
beverages.
Know if anybody
here.
Watched the whole game, it was you, Billy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was over at, I don't know, 1-something.
It was over at 3 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, I was way out.
I lost track because I'll tell you what happened. It's about 10:30 at night, and you have Vanderbilt starting up. For me, you have the Mets and the Giants, and I thought the Mets were just going to go away quietly. Okay, you got beat. They were down 8-2. Mm-hmm. It turns into the craziest game of the season so far. And, of course, you had Calgary and Edmonton going on, which was a great game. Calgary comes from 3-0 down to tie.
They came back?
Calgary tied it up.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. I turned it off, and I think it was the second period.
Yeah,
and
it was 3-0. Yeah, 3-0. Like I was like, okay. Looked like they were going to get run right out of the building, yeah. And they come back, tied it in the third, only to lose. So I had a three-ring circus going on. And, of course, the rain starts and my satellite goes out.
Yeah.
You know, so now I'm pulling up my stuff on my phone and my computer. I'm trying to get
Dallas
low res.
Blows just, out, would you Golden like to State.
Would you ever have one of these things? Somebody's got it, I'm sure. Would you like to watch in low res?
Yeah, no.
I don't want to watch in low res, but if that's my only choice, why you say, you know, that's a question mark.
Really, low res is horrible.
Yeah, of course it is. But they put on there like you have a choice. It says a question mark.
Well, would you do.
I know. So what's my other choice? Just
not
sit there
to watch
nothing?
It at all. Yes, exactly.
Would you like to watch in low res? No, I just want to watch a bunch of jumbled nothing.
Wow, man. I mean, low res is horrible.
But it was quite the night.
Low res is like watching television with rabbit ears on it.
Yeah, how do we ever make it all those
exactly.
years? What about when we had to get up and turn the channel? We used to have to do that.
Oh, man. Yeah. I remember that. But back then, there was only like 3 or 4 stations. So
yeah, if you're lucky, you had like 6, maybe. Yeah. When I was living in New York, you had 1 or 2 extra local channels, but yeah, limited choices, man.
Yeah, someone always had to sit next to the TV just in case, like your parents or something. Yeah. Turn the channel. So you were the remote.
Yep, you were the remote.
Oh man, what is that?
We did it because we didn't know better. We didn't know what the other options were. What were you going to have later on in life? You know, now we're spoiled, Rod.
But exactly.
We didn't know any better. I watched the most unusual. I didn't watch very long. I just was fascinated by it. I channel surfing. Rangers were in control. They take game 4. That's a series, which I said it was going to be. Just saying. I think I'm finally on the right side with the Rangers, I think. We'll find out. And I'm flipping through, and I'm sitting there watching an owner, you know, trying to hold, contain himself from just, I think, just losing his mind.
Are you talking about Dallas?
I'm watching a rain delay in Dallas in an NBA game.
Oh, my goodness. His face? He had to be, like, disgusted. Like, I'm watching him, watching the rain come down through the building. And they really didn't fix it because it still was leaking.
No, it seemed like they had this before. Wasn't that one tent, that pop-up tent or whatever, already there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had an earlier leak.
Right.
They had an earlier leak during the season. And I don't know if it was in the same spot, but they did have an earlier leak during the season where they had to stop the game for a while or fix it. Now, did they try to fix it with some Gorilla Glue? Because that only lasts for so long.
Well, Gorilla Glue, I hear, is pretty good. JB Weld, why not that? That's worked for me.
But to patch up a roof on the arena with Gorilla Glue? Nah, that ain't going to work.
Nah, probably not. Probably not.
No.
What you think, Vrabel? Probably not. Man. Why do we have that as a drop, like, every time?
We've got to have that.
We got to have that right there, readily available.
It's got to be ready. Probably not.
I've just never seen an NBA playoff game delayed for rain. It was literally raining in the arena. And the players, the expressions on their faces were like, is this really happening?
You got to be kidding me.
Right. We're in a rain delay. Like, it looked like there was a hole where the rain outside was just going straight to the end, right? That's what it looked like. It didn't look like a leak. It looked like it was raining straight to the floor.
They had a retractable roof.
They had a retractable roof.
Yeah.
You know the best part about that, though, is watching Shaq, Ernie, Kenny, and Barkley. Now they have to basically, you know, do this sort of show, impromptu show, and you don't know what's going to be said by those guys now.
No.
It's like, really, it's just like all right. Bets are off.
Hold on,
now.
Right. Hold on for dear life.
Exactly. But it was the funniest thing because first thing Charles, after a while, Charles come walking up. They talk about his suit. They call it Ernie calls it a salmon suit. He comes up and he just starts going off completely. I'm like, well, that's Charles. I said, that's the best show on television, man.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
You can't recreate that. No. They'll never be able to recreate that
show.
No,
but I'll say this. I've gotten to what I really enjoy. It's a different mix under the same idea.
No, it's not even close.
Nah, it's not.
Well, no, it's
they
not close.
They try too hard, man.
Nah, it's not.
But I like them, though.
I mean,
we can find other shows we like.
I think it's
we're
so
talking
much
about this standard. Like, they're not even close.
Yeah.
Like,
did I say it was? No, I didn't say it was even close. I just said I've come to really enjoy it, and it's sort of in the spirit. It's the same producer. It's Turner that said, okay, this is how you need to do studio shows.
There's no personality other than, I mean, Anson Carter has somewhat of a personality. But the other
Paul Bissonnette has personality. I like him. Look. They're coming off of the lowest. I got to where I did not want to watch. I had no desire to watch the studio shows between periods. Remember, in a hockey game, you don't have just a halftime show. You got a first intermission and a second intermission, plus pre and post game. And I never wanted to watch any of it for NBC. I just think these guys actually do get into the issues.
Because they had Mike Milbury in there. Like, nobody could stand him.
That's the point I'm making. It's come a long, long way. And I think the chemistry has gotten a lot better since the start of the season. This is only the first year they've done it. I hope it will even get better.
Rick
Tocchet might get a job. He very well could go back and coach somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I think hockey is a way different vibe, but this is really good for hockey, trust me, because it was just so vanilla before. There was just nothing.
It's an upgrade to what
it's a huge upgrade.
But I'm just, it is,
it's a huge upgrade.
Again, we're trying to compare. It's not even like, doesn't mean
I didn't say it was even close. They're the best. Charles is the best. I just got done saying that.
You chose to dive right into that. We're talking about the NBA, and you're like, you know what, guys, let me just tell you this, TNT, I'll tell you, Hockey,
it's the best.
You went right. You segued right into it. That's our point. Our point is you went right into it. Is it better? Yes. Of course it's better.
You know who they need to hire.
You
know who they need to hire.
In the hockey world?
Yeah.
You talking about hockey?
On that panel. You know who they need to hire.
Hold on. Let us guess.
Yes, go ahead. I mean, y'all know who it is.
Dennis Rodman.
Absolutely. No.
Absolutely. No. You're darn tootin' they do.
No, but besides Dennis Rodman,
you want Dennis
PK.
Rodman and someone
PK.
Else.
Absolutely. PK Subban on that panel.
It would help.
It would change the dynamic of it. Because I think he would almost demand that those other guys have personality.
Yes, I agree. But the thing is, ESPN, I think, has got a beat on him. Now, ESPN, once again, this is all relative, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing compares to Charles and those guys. But TNT is light years better. The ESPN panel, mm-hmm. I don't care who they had on there. It's lame.
It's lame. Agreed.
Yeah.
They're awful. I hate to say it. There's nothing. I don't watch their coverage in the intermissions.
No.
It's just there's nothing that I look forward to. The TNT, I want to see the discussion. I think it's a good discussion.
It's way. But again, I'm not going to praise it. It had nowhere to go but up. Like it was embarrassingly bad. Where one person really drug it down. But I mean, overall, there just wasn't a lot of meat there. There just wasn't much there. But can they improve? The problem is, how do you ever try to, you know, duplicate, replicate, whatever word you want to use, Shaq and Barkley? Like, that's almost an impossible, right? Like, how do you find?
Nobody's ever going to match it.
Like, PK Subban's got personality, but has he got personality where he's willing to say anything? I don't know.
I don't think in that sport you can say
and that's
anything.
Why those guys are intriguing, because they don't care. They will say anything. And I don't know if they've got that on the hockey side. I don't know if PK's got personality, but is he willing to say anything? Is he willing to criticize? Is he willing to say stuff where you go, whoa, okay. Is he willing to do that? I don't know. I have my doubts.
Well, I mean, hockey's a different world than basketball. Even football. I mean, there's no show that rivals on the football side that rivals, you know, Shaq and Ernie and those guys.
I don't watch those shows.
You're right. They stand
alone. I don't go out of my way to watch any of those. If I happen to see some, I'll watch it. But I don't sit there and go, boy, I got to see what the guys are saying. But Shaq and Charles, I'm like, I want to see what they have.
Yeah, I just want to see what they got.
I want to see what they're doing, because it's going to be entertaining. But as for PK, he's still an active player right now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to handle it differently now than you do after you're done playing. I think the transition is where you have to go from being.
We got
to
give it time. Yep. Yeah. You're right. Once he's done, right,
then
it should change.
Yeah.
You're right. That's fair. I mean, he's still a player. Like, I don't expect him to do that as an active player. But when he is officially done, and if this is where he's going, and then let's just say his path ends up there, I'm wondering if he can go. I'm not asking him to be Barkley. Nobody's going to be Barkley.
No. Uh-uh.
But can he go that direction? You know, can he say tough things? Can he criticize?
Oh, he can. Are you willing to? It's exactly. A willingness.
Right, it's not
of whether you can or not.
Yeah. All right. Let's come back and talk to the birthday boy. Let's talk to Todd Walker. It's his birthday. Talk a little SEC baseball. Willie was up till 4 in the morning watching. Rain delays. We'll see if they ever pull the tarp off today. I think they will. It's nice here. Hopefully it'll be nicer in Hoover. We'll talk to Todd Walker next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5. Back here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5, the game. Derek McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Todd Walker. He's such a swell guy. He's nice enough to do this on his birthday. Of course, we're going to talk a little SEC baseball.
And let's also say to Todd that we are all up on our LSU baseball history, because the Skip Bertman biography has been
on a loop.
It's been on a loop. I've seen it like four times because of all the rain delays on SEC Network. So, Todd, I know everything about LSU baseball now.
Can we find you in this LSU loop on SEC Network, Todd?
That's hilarious because I've been watching it too. And you pay them enough money, they'll put you out there. You know, this is my one time a year I get a little identity. So, man, it's been fun to watch and stuff I didn't even know. So it's kind of cool.
You're down currently 8-7 to the Hurricanes. I have a feeling you guys are going to come back and win. I really do.
Yeah,
I can feel
it. Put your money on Warren Morris.
That's right.
And there it is,
like
down the third baseline.
A million to one for him to come up big in that game. Well, you win a lot of money.
Well, speaking of LSU, they certainly humbled Vanderbilt to end the regular season at the Hawk. Boy, the bats exploded. What did you see in that series? Man, it's rare you see teams come in, and obviously Tennessee swept Vanderbilt earlier this year, but LSU and that offense, boy, they really took it to Vanderbilt over the weekend.
You know what's great about this game is you can't predict it. Like, yeah. I've been in it my whole life, and they get swept by Ole Miss the week before, did LSU, and a weaker pitching staff, I would say. In Baton Rouge, they only score 9 runs. They didn't have Jacob Berry. Then they go to Nashville against a really nice pitching staff. I mean, we all know that. Carter Holton didn't throw, so, I mean, that's not the whole reason, but, you know, that would have helped. They get Jacob Berry back in that lineup, and regardless of what he does, you know, in terms of stats, just that you get your main guy back in the lineup makes a difference. And I think that's part of it. They moved Dylan Cruz up to the leadoff spot, so Jay Johnson kind of shifted that lineup around a little bit, and it worked. It worked, and it's incredible. But LSU has to score that many runs. They kick the ball around, and when Mikhail Hillier's not on the mound, they're going to walk some guys and give away a lot of free passes. But in the games when they win, you know, 21-10, like they did in Nashville and certain games like that, then obviously errors and walks don't matter. But when they're tight, that's when LSU gets in trouble because they give away more free passes than the other team.
You played on really good LSU teams. You understand what it's like to have a target on your back. Tennessee is going to have a target on their back, and it's unfair expectations, but guess what? It's the expectations they've created when you have a regular season. They did. It's like anything short of at least playing in the national championship game, right, is going to fall short of expectations. People are going to be like, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. How did that happen? What is it like? Because you got the SEC tournament, you've got regionals, you've got super regionals. There is still, as you said, or as you know, a long path. It's like here's season two to get to the finish line, and everybody's gunning for you. What's that like?
I didn't care. You know, I mean, you're gonna play your best. That being said, as you know the stat, since 1999 when they started all this super regional stuff, that first year Miami was number one in the country, and they won the whole thing. Since then, what is that, 22 years, not counting 2020, 23 years, no number one has ever won the national championship. So it's baseball. We know baseball. I mean, you know, any given day, anybody can show up and beat you. Then how do you play when your back's against the wall? How do you play with that kind of pressure? So we've talked about, is Tennessee the greatest team of all time? As of right now, yes, but you said it perfectly. There's two different seasons. You've got to win the second season also to be considered the greatest team ever, which means you're going to have to play with pressure on you. You're probably going to lose a game somewhere along the line where you're down to one game with your season on the line. You might have somebody get injured, so you have to replace him with somebody, and they've got to do well. You've got to have people do things that you don't expect them to do. Like, not that we don't expect Spencer Jones to do what he's doing, but good Lord, that guy's coming on big time here, and so is Enrique Bradfield Jr., you know. So, but those aren't even good examples. I'm talking about somebody off the bench or somebody you hadn't played a whole lot that steps in and does something great. And then ultimately, you got to have a little bit of luck. I mean, Oregon State 2018, they were beat. But they plopped a – now you could, you know, say what you want about Arkansas and the fly ball in right field and the triangle, but it could have easily been right at first base. It could have easily been right up in the air of the pitcher. It just so happens. So you got to have luck, too. And so we had this debate, like, is Tennessee the greatest team ever? They are right now. Statistically, nobody's better. But and we were saying, do they have to win it all to still be considered? And the answer is yes. I think they've got to finish that second half of the season, like you said.
Yeah. We've also talked on this show – about, and we talked to Tim Corbin, and you know, periodically on this show, and just we've talked to him for a long, long time. Just, and we always try to gauge, like, what is the level of the play in the conference. I mean, the SEC is always so high when it comes to baseball, but in my opinion, and we've kind of differed a little bit, I kind of feel like this year is down a bit, And I know we're just sitting here talking about Tennessee and their dominance, and we can go through the good teams, but I kind of feel like it's top-heavy. It's not all the way from top to bottom as heavy as it's been in the past. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think the first time we have this knee-jerk reaction thinking the SEC's down this year is because all the aces they've lost, and then watching – you know, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter do their thing last year, and then all these big-time aces, and that was the storyline, and Landon Sims and Will Bednar at Mississippi State and all these, you know, these big-time arms. This year, they're just not there. They're not there. And so I think that's why we say that. The offense clearly is. They've scored more runs per game in the SEC this year than they ever have with the, in the BB Corps era. So the offense is there for sure. But I think that's why we say that, because, you know, the lack of aces are missing. And in the end, baseball is all pitching. You have to have the arms, the aces. And that's why I've been saying this all year. And then, like you said, Vanderbilt got swept by LSU there at the end. But I've been saying Vanderbilt's going to make a run. They are. The numbers are too good. They've got all the pieces in place. They got the leadoff guy. Thomas Schultz isn't a dominant closer, but he's a good closer. The arms they have on Devin Futrell can kind of get comfortable in that spice role, you know, where he's, you know, having to pitch on the openers on Friday nights and that elevated expectation. Because, you know, Tim Corbin, I think he told you guys that too. He was hesitant to move Devin out of the weekday because he's a freshman, and, you know, he was cruising. And that's this. Now you're seeing why he was hesitant to do that, because it just changes. Just because you're dominating in one role doesn't mean you're going to dominate in another role. And But I think Devin Futrell has a lot of talent, so I think he'll kind of, you know, get comfortable. But I still think Vanderbilt's going to make a run. They won last night. Whether or not they win the SEC tournament, I don't know. But somewhere along the line, they're going to win a regional, and they're a scary two seed for sure.
Todd Walker is with us, former LSU star, doing work, of course, for the SEC Network at the SEC Baseball Tournament. Todd, there's two issues that I want to get your take on that I think are sort of college baseball topics right now, and certainly down there. And that is, you just mentioned, you know, Vanderbilt's best pitchers are freshmen in high school, and even the unique case of Christian Little, who is really the age of a college freshman but in his second year. But you contrast that with the fact that after COVID and the transfer portal and the number of things lining up, you've got generally an older college baseball player on the average this year. What effect do you think that's having on the game?
I think of my own situation. So we had a guy named Tookie Johnson, played second base at LSU. He was the best second baseman ever to play at LSU. They win the national championship in 1991. I came in the fall of 91, and Tookie Johnson left. And so my thought was, if the transfer portal was available back then, I wouldn't have played, or maybe get stuck in left field. Not to mention COVID year, where Tookie Johnson would have come back. But the transfer portal, they definitely would have gone out and filled that role with somebody that had 800 plate appearances in 4 years at another school, and I wouldn't have played. So to answer your question, I think it's changed in the fact that you can't develop young kids, and that's what's unique about Vanderbilt and Tennessee is you've got these freshmen and sophomores, like you just mentioned, that are getting a ton of experience early. So they're built for the future, which is great. That's what you want. You want a little combination of both. But that being said, you got the freshman arms going up against Texas A&M's lineup, who's all older kids. Auburn doesn't have a sophomore in that lineup. It's all juniors and seniors. And so it's got to be intimidating to a certain level. And I still think of Futrell's situation, where now all of a sudden, you know, you get put on a weekend against these older guys. It has to affect you a little bit in the short term. And maybe he's got comfortable by now, a few starts under his belt in that role. But I think it affects you because, you know, you're facing, if you're an 18, 19-year-old kid, you're facing 24-year-olds, which never happened 20 years ago.
Never happened, for sure. Todd, here's another one for you. And I played just a few years before you did. I played against Tookie. I can remember that very, very well down at Alex Box Stadium. That weekend didn't go great for us, I can tell you that. But, you know, the bats, that's always something that college baseball has had to keep an eye on, and now you've got that contracted minor league system. College baseball is such a great product, but I see some reminders of back in the day where, you know, it was really hard to evaluate pro prospects because the bats were so different than the wood. I think they've done a pretty good job the last 10 or 15 years, and it's a really fun thing to watch college baseball because of it. But I see some remnants now, and, you know, not accusing anybody, but it seems like there's things being done to the bats a little bit. So how do you try to keep that and preserve that product that we all love?
I feel like it's level now, right? Because 2011, we started using the BB cores. In 11, 12, 13, there were no offense, right? Then in 15, they came up with what they called the tightly wound seamed baseball that had a little smaller seams. The pitchers had a tougher time gripping the seams and throwing off-speed pitches and curveballs with more bite. And so it made the offense a little better. And I think, without really knowing, I think you're right, there's something a little tweaked with the bats as well. But I feel like, and I'm a hitter now, so I'm biased, but I feel like it's even now. It's pretty level. You don't go to TD Ameritrade or ever, whatever the new thing is in Omaha now, the new sponsor, that ballpark at the College World Series, and have 2-1 ball games all the time with nobody being able to hit a home run, right? So now it's, I feel like it's a little more level and even at this point.
All right, Todd, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Hopefully the rain will clear and we'll get all the games in here. I'd love to see Vanderbilt take another crack at Tennessee, but let's hope we don't have to wait until like 10 or 11 o'clock at night to watch that game. But somehow I think might have to get a nap in this afternoon.
Well, I get a nap in every day, but I promise you that Vanderbilt's going to make a run. Watch them. You know, I said it today, and I've been saying it all year. They're going to do something special. A lot of exciting games for them in the future.
All right, Todd. Thanks a lot. Todd Walker joining us from down in Hoover, Alabama, for the SEC tournament in a rain delay right now. A lot of games on the docket. Vanderbilt is scheduled to play Tennessee in the third game, but there's rain in the forecast on and off throughout the day, so we'll see about the start time.
We already know, Willie, the third game has already become the fourth game.
Mm.
So yesterday's fourth game is now today's first game.
Right.
So we're already a full day behind.
We're already
a full game behind.
Yeah, it's already funky. It's already funky. That's all I can tell you. All right, we're coming back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase right after this.
Thank you, Matias. Don't forget, this is your racing station. Vroom, vroom. ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3. Doubleheader this Sunday. Remember, we had Joseph Newgarden on yesterday talking about the Indianapolis 500. Coverage from the Brickyard will start at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Following that, it'll be NASCAR, the Coca-Cola 600 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So lots of racing Sunday here on these airwaves. Also, Chasing Checkers will get everything started Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. He'll go vroom, vroom a lot. Chase will do that. All of our coverage presented by Nashville Super Speedway, Nashville Fairground Speedway, and Collision Repair.
It's better than your truck impression.
Yeah, better than Monster Jam?
Yeah.
Please.
Sound like your nose is stopped up and you try to clear it.
Oh, well, good. That's because it is. So I'm glad it sounds like that. Awesome.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing.
Good job,
well,
there.
I mean, Derek brought it up. What do you want me to do about it? Todd Walker seemed to be pretty hell-bent on Vanderbilt. He kept going there over and over and over again.
I'm not sure.
I'm not either. I was a little surprised by that. Maybe playing to the crowd? I don't know. Playing to the market?
Look, they played very well last night. The guy that's really come on is Carter Holton, the freshman. Mm-hmm. He is really strung together now, 3, 4, 5 straight dominant performances. He shut him out for 6 innings last night. The only issue with him is he's got a lot of pitches, and he tends to get the pitch count up after 6 or 7 innings, so he's probably not going to go 9. But, look, you take 6 scoreless, and they got very good relief. Christian Little, and this was deep into the night, he really struggled against LSU. He got the start in game 2 and just didn't have it. He was all over the place, walked a bunch of guys, gave up a couple of home runs, and he was out of there. Looked like a totally different guy last night. Just completely dominated the last 2 innings in a tight game. So that was a good sign. Now you look ahead. Who's going to get Tennessee out? They're going to have to come up big on the mound tonight. Max, have they even announced a starter?
I was about to ask you the same thing, but I think it has to be Devin Futrell.
And that's another really interesting case of a freshman right out of high school. He's dominated the midweek games. He's had some success against the SEC, but he hasn't pitched a whole lot against the league, and he certainly has not gone up against a lineup like Tennessee. So he's going to have to be at his absolute best. Now, this is a guy that's going to be, a pro prospect. There's no question. He's one of those guys. He's a top-level recruit. He's got all the tools, but he's really young.
I don't know how they're going to fit all this in because I'm seeing that Tom Hart, Peter Burns, all them literally just now tweeting out, Kentucky, Auburn, first pitch will be 12:45.
Hmm.
So that's almost 2 hours behind schedule.
Well, Willie, you have another late night, buddy. Get yourself a nap.
I know. But if it does happen, I think everybody will be curious. A, can Tennessee sustain the dominance that they've had all year? Because as Todd said, baseball is a funny game. You can have domination and then one bad weekend and your season's over, like Arkansas last year. Now, this is just gravy for Tennessee. They could lose two in a row, mm-hmm. and they're still going to be probably the number one seed in the country. But also, how does Vanderbilt look better? Have they improved since Tennessee came in early in the season to Nashville and beat them three straight times pretty handily?
What?
They've been trying to earn. They've earned chance at him.
I felt here. So, and then this weekend happened. I was like, oh, okay. Hmm.
I think the top of the order, Bradfield is coming around to be the dominating player that he can be. He is the most entertaining guy to watch in college baseball. You've got two elite hitters, mm-hmm. and Spencer Jones, who's becoming a real interesting pro prospect, and. You know, they've got a good lineup. The bottom of the lineup has for a number of different reasons not been as strong as I thought it would be. But there's just a lot of question marks in the pitching. Can you get the kind of pitching you're gonna need to beat a Tennessee? If they can, that's great. If not, they'll probably be a two seed and they'll go on the road somewhere and have a chance to try to do some damage that way. I mean they're a really good team. They're being held to the standard of the last five to eight Vanderbilt teams that you're thinking should dominate, right? They just haven't dominated in the SEC. They played the toughest schedule in the nation. For example, you don't just say it's in the SEC, but who did you play in the SEC? Well, the teams in the West, they played the absolute best teams in the West. They didn't play the three bottom feeders in the West. Mm-hmm. So they got in the mix of who do you play in a 14-team league, they had – probably the most difficult mix you could have. And that's why their RPI is really, really high, even though their ranking's not as high.
Nate on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, how long will the SEC allow rain delays to last?
I've seen them play well into 2 o'clock in the morning. Last night was not the record by any stretch.
Nope. I don't know if there's a hard, fast rule. I don't know when the sun comes up. You have to call it. I don't know. I'm obviously kidding. I don't know. They've gone to the wee hours of the night / morning. So I don't know.
I don't know if there's
a hard fast rule. I don't know.
Is it time? And I think all the leagues probably could consider this. But
for a retractable roof in Hoover, yes.
No,
yes,
not
is.
A retractable roof, but
it is time.
You could have a second field that you could play on, like Williamsport. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like there's a full complex, and Darren, someday you may go down there with some youngsters to play there, but there's a full complex literally at the bottom of the hill, really, really nice fields. Now, you couldn't have crowds. That would be a problem, but in an emergency situation, if you needed to play two games at the same time to catch up, that would be easy to do, but they've never gone down that road.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
And by the way, you have another double-A park right in Birmingham.
Right.
I don't know how that coincides with the minor league schedule, but that would be something else to think about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they're going to cram all this in. I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at the forecast today. I know last night.
It's bad. It's not good.
No.
There's rain all day, mm-hmm. on and off, 50%, 70%, depending on what hour you're looking at. It's all day. There's a threat.
I didn't know it was supposed to rain last night and, I don't know, somewhere around dinner time. I mean, it was coming down sideways last night, so.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. Mm-hmm. Didn't last very long, but, man, when it was here, it was bad. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see if they can cram all this in there. But like I said, it looks like Kentucky-Auburn will be first pitch today at 12:45 to get the action started in Hoover. So that's almost 2 hours behind schedule to kick off the day. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour. We've also got, again, some Monster Jam tickets to give away. Yeah, we're going to do that today before we get out of here. Adam Vingan will kick off the second hour. We'll talk some Preds and hockey with Adam coming up at 11 o'clock. Teresa Walker will talk about yesterday's OTAs. That'll be at high noon. More DDC next. Talk a little hockey here coming up at 11 o'clock. Back here on the DDC. It's with heavy hearts when we all learned of the news in South Texas, an elementary school. Sometimes you can't even wrap your head around news like that. Robb Elementary, 19 children killed, 2 adults. Just a horrific, horrific scene at an elementary school. I believe it's, what, outside of San Antonio in Texas, but just an awful, awful scene. I believe the gunman who was gunned down was, what, 18 years old? I don't know how we get to this place. I don't know how these things happen. But obviously, when you hear second graders, third graders, fourth graders, and you know that you've got a kid in the house who just wrapped up fourth grade, should be in school today, but was unable to go because of his illness. This is the last day of school. I mean, you can't even imagine what that area is going through, what those families are going through. And it's, you know, their lives are forever changed, and not for the good, nothing for the good, all for the bad. It'll be horrific, and probably some will never recover from yesterday. It's just awful. So our thoughts and prayers are with the folks down there in Texas. What is it, Uvalde? Is that Uvalde? I don't know exactly how you say the city, but it was Robb Elementary. Like I said, I think it's a suburb of San Antonio, but just an awful, awful story and an awful thing to try to wrap your brain around.
No words. No words. Words can't describe. I watched a lot of the coverage yesterday. Frustrating. Look, Steve Kerr went on a really emotional rant, as he's been very consistent for a long time. You know, we got to take action. I know the answer is not easy, but put me with the 90%.
Well, I mean, listen, you know the answer. Everybody knows the answer, but nobody wants to take action to make those things a reality. So, you know, I watched it for some time, but I wasn't going to consume myself with such a horrific act, because I know a lot of people are going to come out, whichever side you fall on in the middle. This need to change, that need to change. But hell, ain't none of it changed.
Yeah. So Sandy Hook was 10 years ago.
Exactly. So why, you know, get on, you know, I've seen them all. Emotional pleas, whatever. It doesn't mean a damn thing. It doesn't, obviously. So for me, I watched it. It was horrific. It was evil. But I'm not going to consume myself with it, because the people that should consume themselves with it don't, because nothing changes.
That's what saddens
me. So, I mean, how can you say those things, watch those families go through what they're going through, and then nothing changes, and you go on with your life, and then it happens again, and it's just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. That's all it is. I'm not talking about the – I'm talking about the people that can make the changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just say the same old things, get everybody in uproar, and then eventually, unfortunately – it fades away until the next act.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't understand it. You know?
I liked what Steve Kerr said when he said, we can't get numb to it. I do remember when Columbine happened. That was the first one I can remember of its kind. And it stopped everything. The whole country stopped. We talked about it. But it's happened so many times since then in different forms. And I that's what I am afraid of is
I don't think the people I don't think the people to a have degree. I don't think the average citizen has gotten numb to it. I think those that can make the changes, they've gotten numb to it.
And I don't get that.
And exactly, I don't get it. Until it hits your porch and is at your front door, then that's how it is. Until it hits your door, that's when you want to make a change. That's when you want to stand up. That's when those that sit back, they don't say anything until they hit their front door, until they are impacted by it in such a way that they're going to remember it forever. When you lose a child unexpectedly, that crap hurts. It hurts for a long time.
No, it hurts forever. They'll never get
my mom and dad went through it to the day they died.
Yeah.
When we lost our sister, when I lost my sister, they never got over it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These lives are impacted forever. They'll never get past this, and we all would be in the same boat. It's horrific. I mean, yesterday is going to change 21 families, 21 circles of friends and families and colleagues forever. They'll never get past it, and it's a senseless act. I don't look. Anytime someone, you know, loses their life in this fashion, whether it's an adult, a child, a teenager, whatever your age, look, it doesn't, you know, it's all the same. But I don't think I'll ever understand who could go into an elementary school. I don't know what state of mind you would possibly have to be in to literally do that to an elementary school. These are innocent kids. I mean, kids. I will never, ever. I mean, I know we're not supposed to understand it, but gosh. And again, it doesn't make it, you know, any less anymore if it was a church or whatever and it's adults or a mall. You know, the movie theaters, right? We've seen all this stuff in the past. We've gone through all these mass shootings, and it's, you know, it should all feel the same, but I've got to be, you know, for me, if I'm just being honest, having someone in the house that's in fourth grade and in elementary, and is around elementary schools all the time, like I just could not imagine how you would ever get to the point and why. What would even be the reason? These are innocent kids. I mean, but anyway, again, there are no explanations for this, but it's horrible. It's just horrible because those people, they will never get past this, and and you know, none of us would. We would all be impacted the same. So, our thoughts are with them. It's going to be really, really rough in that area for a long, long time. And I don't have the answers, but gosh, I wish we could do something. I wish we could stop having these horrific stories happen. You know. But
you can never eliminate to 0% the chance that something like that would happen, but you can take measures to lower the chances and decrease these over time.
You can be proactive and do things that kind of deter.
Yes. It decrease the possibilities, the probabilities. You can't make it zero, but we can decrease. Mm-hmm. There are things, sensible things that can be done.
Just wanted to pass that along. I wanted us to at least say that we are thinking about those folks, and we'll be thinking about them, praying for them, because they've got a tough road ahead for sure. We'll come back. We'll talk to Adam Vingan from The Athletic to begin the second hour. We do that next.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.